We finished our sermon series last week with our Advent series, and this week we start a new sermon series called Supernatural Community. And you may be wondering, what are we talking about here? Even the lettering looks a little bit like comic book style. You know, as you think about this word supernatural, what do you think of? Just the first thing that pops into your mind, share with your neighbor. What do you think of when you think of the word supernatural? All right, for some of you, it takes a little bit longer time to figure out what comes to mind, but go ahead and share with someone real quick. All right, what comes to mind for me are things like this. You guys know what this is? Yeah, Dragon Ball. So when I think about supernatural, I think about something like this, and the Kamehameha, right? I also think about this. You guys know this? Okay, I only know this because my kids tell me about it. I don't really know what this is. He bends the air. Okay, something like that. But then the thing that really comes to my mind is this. Okay, so, you know, in Star Wars, they talk about the Force, and something is like supernatural there, right? My kids, I shared with them about Star Wars, and recently one of my girls came up to me and she's like, "You will give me candy." And she tried to use the Force on me. We're talking about supernatural community. And I think that for a lot of us, when we think about what's supernatural, we get a little bit weary. We kind of question what we're talking about here. But when we do watch these movies, when we do watch these comic movies or TV shows, once in a while, this kid side of us comes out and we do these things like, or, you know, some of you guys that watch Kung Fu movies, you kind of do this kind of thing to like candles or whatever to try to blow them out. We do these things to each other. Sometimes we do this like, "You will listen to what I'm saying," you know? And we do these things because there's this desire in our hearts to be something more than what's natural. We have this desire to be something more than what's just our normal lives. Now, these pictures that I showed you guys, they're fictional. They're not real. There's no such thing as this force that you can feel and it's all around you and you could manipulate people's minds and things like that. There's no such thing as that. But interestingly, the Bible does talk about how Christians are able to live a life that's beyond what's natural. And that's what we're going to be focusing on in this sermon series. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be able to fly like in Dragon Ball, or we're going to be able to use the Force like Star Wars. That's not what we're talking about here. But what we're talking about is something that actually seems pretty natural for many of us, because as Christians, we're already living out this supernatural life. And so through this sermon series, my hope is that we'll become more and more clear about what this supernaturalness is all about, specifically in our church community. And we're going to start off this sermon series by talking about this topic. What does it mean when we're talking about being supernatural? And the title for today's sermon is Natural to Supernatural. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and our sermon series is going to be a sermon series that's going to be going through the book of Acts, portions through the book of Acts. Okay, so why don't we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. If you have one of the blue Bibles from outside, we're looking at page 909.
Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is reading of God's word. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." All right, we're talking about natural to supernatural. How many of you guys made New Year's commitments or resolutions this year? Anyone? Okay, some of us. Most people have given up on themselves. I'm joking. New Year's resolutions, there is kind of a joke to it, right? People are afraid to make New Year's resolutions because they've tried in the past, and it's hard to keep a New Year's resolution, especially if your New Year's resolution is something like read the Bible every single day for this year. Is that going to happen? Okay, maybe for some of us it's possible. But when we make these New Year's resolutions, there is this joke that it's probably going to last only for the first month or so, and then you're going to fail and forget about your New Year's resolution, and you're not going to fulfill it. This is natural. This is something that happens. What are we talking about when we're talking about something that's natural? It's something that has a limit, something that comes to an end. It's not something that will last forever. It's not something that will continue on. What's natural is that something will always have an end. When we talk about what's natural in this world, everything will come to an end. Even our own lives will come to an end. Whatever fame or whatever fortune a person has or had, that will come to an end. And even if they didn't lose it in their life, they will lose it when they die. And so this is what we're talking about when we're talking about what's natural. Now, we're not only talking about physical things. Even in our minds, there may be things where we're experiencing this natural world. What is this natural world? This natural world is filled with difficulties. You know, there's a limit to how much we can work. There's a limit to how much money we can make. And so the effect of that is that we begin to worry and we're concerned about our lives. We're concerned about whether or not people will appreciate us because there's a limit to how much people can appreciate us. There is a limit that exists in this world. And so even in our minds, in our psychological minds, in the way we think, there is this limit that exists, and that is natural. This is something that every single person in this world, all throughout history, has experienced. We have all experienced this natural world. And this is connected to what the Bible talks about. The reason why this world is in this way, is natural in this way, is because sin exists in this world. And so no matter how much we want to see good things happen in our lives, with regard to our health, with regard to our finances, with regard to our future, with regard to our children, with regard to our families, no matter how much we want good things to continually happen in this world, what we'll find over and over again is that there is a limit. You may experience it for a short period of time, but there is a limit there, and everything will come to an end. So all attempts in this life to become happier, all attempts to make things last, all attempts to make good things last, all attempts to even be healthy and to stay healthy, all attempts to be wealthy or to feel secure, to feel comforted, all attempts will at some point come to an end because that is what's natural. For Christians, though, it's different. For Christians, for our church community, we are called and empowered to live lives that are beyond what's natural. Our main idea for today is this: live a life that's beyond what's natural. And I say it in this way because whenever we hear the word supernatural, we get other vibes sometimes. I don't know about you, but I think for a lot of us, we have this other sense, this other idea when we hear the word supernatural. And so I want to word it this way: live a life that's beyond what's natural in this world. Live a life that's beyond what's natural. And the 3 points we'll go through are: number one, beyond natural. Number two, how to be supernatural. Again, this sounds a little weird, but we'll get to it. And number three, pointers. Okay? So number one, beyond natural. Let's try to understand what is, we've already talked about what is natural. Let's talk about what's beyond natural. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, in our passage today, as we look at the very beginning of this book of Acts, it says, in the first book, O Theophilus, so there's this guy, his name is Luke. Luke is the one that's writing this book. And we can tell because he also wrote the book of Luke. If you go before Acts, there's the book of John, and before John, there's the book of Luke. And within Luke, what you'll find in the very beginning is a similar introduction to the book, where it addresses this person, Theophilus. So Luke is writing to a person, Theophilus, and he says, in the first book, which is the book of Luke, and this is his second book, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay, so what is it that's beyond what's natural? Well, first of all, Jesus, as it says here, that he came and he began to do all these things that were beyond what's natural. It says there are things that he did. What did he do? He performed a lot of miracles. Now, that is something that we would consider supernatural, something that's beyond natural. But using our definition, we want to be clear on our definition. Our definition is that what's natural is something that comes to an end that ultimately will result in death. All right, I changed it a little bit, but let me try to be clear. What I'm saying is everything will come to an end, and ultimately, the ultimate end is death. What Jesus did was he came and he demonstrated power to reverse the effects of death. People were healed. They were in a place where they were experiencing death, but they were actually healed so that they experienced life. Death is the experience of what's natural. Life, where you can insert life where there is death, where there is emptiness, where you can insert life, that is something that's not natural in this world. And that's what Jesus was doing. And he began to teach about what was beyond natural. He taught about the kingdom of God. He taught about living in this world, but having the mindset of living in the kingdom of God, where we don't have to live in this natural world anymore, but we can have a mindset that goes beyond what people normally experience in this world. And so that is what we would understand to be what's beyond natural. Let's have a deeper understanding. Let's look at how Luke finishes his last book, his first book. This is what it says in Luke 24. Then he opened their minds. This is talking about Jesus, and he's talking with some of his disciples. It says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. All right, here, it gets a little bit more specific as to what Jesus did. Jesus not only performed miracles, but he came and he suffered. And so he was experiencing this natural world. Jesus, as a human being, was experiencing this natural world. He suffered and he died. And he experienced what the result of this natural world is, which is death. But then he rose again from the dead. And then it goes on to say, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. It talks specifically about this idea of the forgiveness of sins. When we're in this natural world, what we experience is this continual hurting of one another, or we experience this pain from this world that results in us wanting to hold on to this pain. Let me try to back up a little bit. Let me try to explain what I'm talking about here. We experience pain in our lives where we need to come to a place to forgive. Forgive other people, or even forgive ourselves. We come to a place where we experience things in this world where we experience pain, and we want to overcome that pain in some kind of way. And what we've learned a lot of times is that to overcome that pain, perhaps forgiveness is involved there. And so when we experience this pain, when we experience this death of our souls, where we find it difficult to forgive, where we experience guilt or shame even, we're experiencing this natural world. But to actually get to the place where you forgive, that goes beyond this natural world. It's actually inserting life into that place of emptiness and darkness and death. Forgiveness is saying, I will still move towards you and seek to have a relationship with you. I will not hold you accountable for what you've done to me in the past. And so even though you brought death into my life, I'm not going to demand death from you. Rather, I'm going to try to bring life into our relationship here. That is an experience of something that's supernatural. That's not what we usually experience in this world. Now, some of you guys might think that whether it be in other religions or whether it be in popular culture, there is this promotion of forgiveness. But a lot of times what you'll find is that where do people get this idea of forgiveness from? Where do we learn our ideas of putting life, giving life into the place where there is death? A lot of times these good moral ideals are from what Christianity teaches us. And the way that Christianity has taught us is that God has placed in our hearts this desire to want life, even though what we continue to experience is death. And so that's why people have this understanding. Even non-Christians have this understanding that they need to forgive. But man, everyone will say forgiveness is hard. Jesus came. He suffered, he died, and he rose again. And he inserted life into this world. And he says that anyone who believes in him will begin to experience this life in him. And that will begin to have the effect in our lives where we experience the encouragement and the power to begin to insert life into this world as well. And so that we can proclaim the repentance for the forgiveness of sins, we can be the ones to proclaim this. So coming back to our passage, it says, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, this is what's incredible. The most important thing that we believe in as Christians is that Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of sins, and that he rose again from the dead. That he actually did conquer death. And so I want to let you guys know and remind you or tell you for the first time if you've never heard this before. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, not just in a spiritual sense, but he actually rose again from the dead physically. He actually conquered death. He's living today, and he's not going to die again. He conquered death. And so he has the ability to actually give life to people. Now, I want us to see that it says here specifically that he proved in many ways, he showed many proofs to show that he was actually alive. And he spent 40 days speaking with people about the kingdom of God and also appearing to people saying that he is actually alive. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we are able to also understand that there is something beyond what's natural in this world. What's natural is death. What's natural is that there is a limit. But because of Jesus Christ, there is a possibility of actually experiencing life, the way that life was meant to be lived. There's actually a possibility for there to be an infinity that we experience through Jesus Christ. Now, as we've come to understand what it means when we talk about what is beyond natural, and just to be clear, what we're talking about is something where there is life. Because what's natural is that there is death, that there is a limit. How do we begin to experience, or how do we begin to live, you know, our main idea is to live that life. How do we begin to live this life, or how do we begin to experience what is beyond natural? How to be supernatural is what we're going to talk about. Now, as we think about how to be natural, how to be supernatural, as we've heard that Jesus Christ came and did these miraculous signs, and as he taught about the kingdom of God, what we might begin to think is, well, in order for me to live that supernatural life, I need to just live like Jesus did. I need to follow his example. I need to do the things that he did. What did he do? He showed compassion. He reached out to those that were helpless. And so I need to start doing those things. And in a way, that's true. The way that we begin to experience and understand what it means to live a life that's beyond natural is to learn what Jesus has taught us and begin to live that out. But as we begin to live that out, what ends up happening a lot of times? What ends up happening is that we forget about what Jesus did. We forget about how he overcame death. And we begin to use our own natural way of trying to live this supernatural life. Let me say it a little bit differently, a way that's a little bit more familiar. We begin to try to live a good Christian life in our own way. We try to be nice to people. We try to forgive people. We try to give of our funds, and we try to make our families better and be good parents. We try to do all these things, but what do we keep running into over and over again? What we keep running into is the fact that there is a limit there. I can't keep helping someone. I can't keep being a good father. Even if I try to, I find myself failing. There is a limit that's there. And the reason for that is that in this passage it says, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. The reason why we continue to find ourselves limited, not being able to to do what we're hoping to do, not being able to live out that supernatural life, to live out a life according to what Jesus has taught us. The reason is because we are still living in this body of death. We are still living in sin. And so we find ourselves continually experiencing this life of death. And so when we try to live this supernatural life just by living our own lives in this way, we're going to find ourselves failing over and over again. And so let me put it a little bit differently. You will find yourself serving in the church and then feeling very tired that you're serving in the church, and you're going to feel that you want to quit. You are going to find yourself getting to know someone in the church, and you think that maybe they could be a good friend, but you're going to find yourself being hurt by that person, maybe being misunderstood, maybe you end up hurting that person, and there's going to be conflict between you two. You're going to experience that in the church. That's natural. And what you're going to want to do is maybe run away to another church and find a good church where maybe you won't have any conflicts. But that's not natural. That's not what you're going to experience. Wherever you go, you're going to face this type of conflict. How do we experience this supernatural life then? If what we're continually experiencing is this natural life, how do we experience that? Well, this is what our passage goes on to say. And while staying with them, this is talking about Jesus. Jesus was staying with his disciples after he resurrected from the dead, before he went up to heaven. It says, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. How do we begin to experience this supernatural life? It's not going to be by our own strength. We're not going to be able to do it by ourselves. And that's why Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. And what's going to happen? He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The reason why we practice this idea of baptism is related to this idea right now. Whenever we see someone getting baptized, it's not just to identify with Christ. That's part of it. That is true. But it's also to remember that we have the Holy Spirit with us. And this is written in this way. Jesus is telling his disciples to wait because he didn't send the Holy Spirit yet at that time. But what we know for today, for us, is that the Holy Spirit is already with us. The way that we begin to experience what's supernatural is by having the Holy Spirit with us. Now, I know that for many of us, this is kind of still a little bit out there, and it's difficult to understand what are we talking about when we're talking about having the Holy Spirit with us. First of all, how do we have the Holy Spirit with us? How is it possible to have the Holy Spirit with us so that we can begin to live this supernatural life? Well, this is what the passage says in Romans 8, 9 to 11. It says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are no longer living according to the flesh. You are no longer living, although you feel the effects of this natural world, but your mindset, your direction, the thing that is your goal, everything that you are thinking about now is according to the kingdom of God. You are not in the flesh anymore, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh no, I don't know if the Spirit of God is dwelling in me. How do I know? Well, this is what it says. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. How do I know that I have the Spirit? This is what it says. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What is this saying? It's saying that it's through the Spirit, not by what you do, but through the Spirit that God has given to you, that you will begin to experience life. Your life will begin to experience life, even though you're experiencing death in this life. Okay. I want to be a little bit more clear, and so this is where I want to come to the last point, pointers. Because here we might begin to think, okay, I want to live with the Spirit in mind. I want to understand that the Spirit of God, that the Father raised Jesus from the dead through the Spirit. And that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is also in me. That's what this passage is saying, right? The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Let me just read it here. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If you have the Spirit, it's not by what you do, but it's by what you will experience in your life. It's going to be natural for you to experience this supernatural thing that's happening in you. Let me say that again. For those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, we will experience what is supernatural. What's beyond what we normally experience in this world. We will be able to forgive willingly. We will be able to go out and love people. We will be able to overcome some of our fears. We will be able to go out and show love to people in this church. We will be willing to go out even to other places that we wouldn't normally go to share about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will begin to see this change happen in our hearts because the Spirit is in us. It's not because what we're doing, but we'll begin to see this natural change in our own lives because the Spirit is in us. The supernatural effect will become what's natural for Christians. And so let's go to our third point, pointers. How do we live out this life that's beyond what's natural? John 7:38 to 39 talks about how we begin this process. How we begin this process. It says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, this is Jesus speaking, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If you believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus says, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But what does that mean? It says in verse 39, now this he said about the Spirit. The Spirit is in us, and that Spirit will be moving in us, and there will be this living water that's flowing in us and through us. It's the Spirit that's working in us. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. The way that we start this process, the way that we begin to experience this supernatural life that goes beyond what's natural is by believing. Just trusting that that's what Jesus did. Just trusting that because Jesus died and rose again and he is actually alive, that he has sent his Spirit to us now, and I trust that that's what Jesus did and that the Spirit is with me. Those who believed in him, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. And it goes on to say, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here's another passage that talks about that same idea. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? So in other words, is the Spirit going to work in your life and you begin to change and experience this supernatural life? Again, it doesn't mean that you're going to be doing miracles. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about actually being able to give life by showing love, by forgiving people, by actually reaching out to people that you normally would not reach out to, actually becoming friends with someone that you would not normally become friends with. That's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about actually performing something like a miracle. Do these things happen, like loving and forgiving and all these things? Do these things happen by you following some type of set of laws that you're supposed to do? Or is it by having faith that that's what Jesus and the Father and the Spirit are doing in your life? The way that you begin this process is by believing, by having faith, by trusting that this is what Jesus has done. Let me give some further pointers here, and I'm just going to list these out here. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have put your trust in Jesus, then you can believe also that you already have the Spirit with you. So how do we relate with this Spirit? How do we relate with the Spirit of God? Well, number one, remember that the Spirit of God is a person of the Trinity. That the Spirit of God is God. And that the Spirit of God is not a power, a tool that you can use. A lot of people think about wanting to have a better life, and they become a Christian because they want to have a better life. As a Christian, they think that only if I believe in Jesus, then I'm going to be able to have enough money so that I could be comfortable and secure. If I can become a Christian, then maybe I can finally make enough money and be able to retire without any troubles in this world. People use God as a tool. Even when people pray, they say, God, help me to do what I want to do. God, help me to stay away from that person. Keep that person away from me. Right? We pray these types of prayers and we use God almost as if he's our servant. And so I want us to remember the Spirit of God is not just a power that you can use to do what you want, to get what you want. The Spirit of God is a person in the Trinity. He is God. And God, when we say God is with us, we're saying, yes, God is definitely with us right now. Because the Spirit of God is with us. There's one worship song that I've heard that references one of the passages that we read today. And it talks about how the power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. You know, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Some of you guys might know this song, right? And it says, that power is in you, lives in you. And a person can hear that song and sing that song and mistakenly think that, wow, Jesus was risen from the dead with this awesome power and I have that power now. Kamehameha, right? That's not it. That's not what we're talking about. What we're saying is that I will continue to fail because I live in this body of death. I am a natural person. But because the Spirit of God has been given to me, because of what Jesus Christ has done, I'm going to experience this supernatural life. And I will actually be able to forgive. I will actually be able to overcome fears. I will actually be able to love people and not be selfish and begin to think about what this world needs and that this world needs Jesus Christ, I will go out and proclaim and do these things because the Spirit of God, my God, is with me. Number two, the Spirit of God speaks to us. The Spirit of God is not just a power, but the Spirit of God is God. And the Spirit of God will speak to us. Now, the first and foremost way that the Spirit of God speaks to us is through the Bible. When we read the Bible, the Spirit of God will be working in our hearts, will be working in our minds to make us understand, to help us understand what the Bible is talking about. But the Spirit of God not only works through just ourselves reading through Scripture, but the Spirit of God works in a church setting so that maybe you don't understand immediately what the passage is talking about, but we have each other where the Spirit of God is working amidst all of us. We have each other to help each other understand what the Bible is saying. And so the Spirit of God does speak to us. But I also have to say, not a lot of people like talking about this. Well, there are some people that like talking about this. But the Spirit of God also can speak to us in ways that are not natural. Through dreams, possibly. Through a voice, possibly. In these other supernatural kind of ways. But let me be clear here. There are some people out there that say this, and they say, God told me. And they say all these kinds of things. And then they turn out to be a cult. Or what they end up saying is just completely wrong. And it goes against what the Bible says. The Spirit of God will not go against what Scripture says. And so whenever you hear someone say, God told me, go back to the Bible and check it. Even if you yourself, you feel like God spoke to you, or you had a dream and God spoke to you, go back and check with the Bible whether or not that really was the Spirit of God. Whether or not that really was God. But yes, it is possible that God does speak to us through the Spirit of God in our lives. And I want to say that it's not often that this happens. Why? Because the normal way, the supernatural normal way for Christians, is that God has spoken to us through His Word. And so we don't need to seek these supernatural events. It's not going to be common anyways. We have God's Word that was given to us supernaturally already. The words that are in the Bible, they are supernatural words that come from our God. And so focus on looking at God's Word, because the Spirit of God will speak to us through His Word. He will also bring some of God's Word, some of the Bible, to remembrance when we forget, when we're in certain situations where we need God's Word, but we don't have this actual book with us. He will bring some things to mind also. And so, I encourage you, read God's Word. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution, make one of them reading God's Word. And let me give you a specific, maybe, commitment. Read one verse a month. Can you do that? That's not too hard, right? Read one verse a month. And the way that you can do this is by coming to church and just reading it on the screen. You can do it. Commit to reading God's Word. Now, I'm kind of joking about this, but if you make it a commitment to read God's Word, then you're going to learn more and more about what God is saying. My commitment this year is I ambitiously said that I'm going to try to read the Bible in Chinese this year. And someone said, no, that's too much for you. Don't make that commitment. Make the New Testament your commitment. And say, okay, my commitment for this year is to try to read the New Testament in Mandarin this year, in Chinese. So what about you? Third pointer. The Spirit of God speaks to us specifically about certain things. What are those things? He'll speak to us about our sin. So there are times that you're going to feel guilty. There are times that you're going to feel like, oh, this doesn't feel good. And our natural reaction is just to run away, make excuses, and things like that. But when you're feeling that guilt, when you're feeling that, that shame even, pause for a moment and thank God, because the Spirit of God is the one that's giving you the ability to think and to understand that actually this is an area that I need to turn to God about. So the Spirit of God is speaking to us when we understand or when we come to realize our own sin. The Spirit of God speaks to us about His Word, God's Word. We've talked about that already. And the Spirit of God also gives us power to witness. And so you may find someone that's next to you, whether at work or in your neighborhood or in your school, wherever it might be, even in your own families, that don't know about Jesus Christ. And you might be a little bit afraid to share with them because you don't know what to say. You don't know what words to use, or you don't even know if you're going to be clear enough or not. Don't worry. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God will give us power to witness. He'll give us even the very words that we need to share with that person. And even if you feel like you didn't do a good job, it's okay. The Lord will continue to work through you. And last, the Spirit of God works supernaturally, but not necessarily in the way that we imagine. Okay? I've been talking about this. It's not in this, you know, all of a sudden, a person that had a broken leg, the leg is going to go, and it's going to be fixed. You know? It's not necessarily going to happen in this way. Or we expect the Spirit of God to work in this miraculous way of making our family that's been broken for 40 years to all of a sudden everyone to be happy and reconciled and everyone becomes a Christian. Maybe this could possibly happen, but a lot of times the Spirit of God will work in ways that we didn't even imagine. We may not understand it, but what we can know for sure is that even when I don't understand it, the Spirit of God is definitely working in our midst. And so, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, in this new year, have the mindset. Start with this mindset. This world that we live in is a broken world. It's the natural world. But because of Jesus Christ, we don't have to be bound to this natural world. We can live beyond this natural world. And it's because the Spirit of God is with us. I hope you're encouraged by this. And I hope that you continue to remind each other of these truths. If you are not a Christian here today, I would ask you to consider what this means in your life. To think about what it means to live this life. And what you're experiencing is it a natural world? Or are you living a life that's beyond this world? And even if you're trying to live beyond this world, are you finding the strength to continue to try to live something that's supernatural, but finding yourself tired? What are you experiencing? And would you be willing to think about putting your trust in Jesus Christ, through whom the Spirit is given, and through whom we'll continue to find strength to live in this supernatural way? Would you consider that? Let's take this time to pray. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your wonderful word that we are not left alone in this natural world. We are not left alone just to experience death and pain and sorrow and brokenness. But Lord, you have come into this world to bring about forgiveness and reconciliation and healing and comfort. You have brought us security, Lord. You have made us into people that are filled with joy and with honor and glory because, Lord, you did rise from the dead. Because, Lord, you did show many proofs that you are indeed alive and you have conquered this natural world. You have conquered death and sin. And so, Lord, would you just continue to work in our lives through the Spirit of God to continue to remind us of this wonderful truth that we are people living beyond this world, but, Lord, still experiencing this natural world. Lord, would you strengthen us and guide us and continue to remind us of the wonderful truth that you are with us. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.